I'm Mike McCurdy. A highly contagious and deadly disease that can strike unprotected pets has been detected in Bloomington Normal. Laura Kennedy has more on this edition of GLT's Animal House.
Responsible pet parents always get their animals vaccinated when they're young. One common vaccination is for the highly contagious parvovirus. Dr. Matt Fraker from the Prairie Oak Veterinary Center in Normal says parvovirus is a devastating illness and is something that, for the sake of your pet's life, you've got to take seriously.
Parvovirus is one of the most common viruses we encounter that pose a significant threat to our puppy population.
So it's just dogs.
Well, there's a kitty version too, which we can discuss separately. Canine parvovirus is one of the main reasons that we have puppy vaccinations. When you see us trying to get puppies vaccinated starting at 6 weeks of age, quickly revaccinating them 2 weeks later, and then 3 to 4 weeks after that for several more vaccines, all of that, we're protecting against several diseases with that vaccine, but the big bad one that we're mostly concerned about is parvovirus. And what happens there is most of these moms have immunity, so while the puppies are nursing, they're okay. But there's this window where...
Once they get weaned?
Yeah. There's a window around weaning where the maternal immunity will drop, and now they're flying by their own immunity, which is poorly developed at that point, and that's where we begin trying to bring that up with vaccination protection.
So what are the symptoms of parvovirus?
Parvovirus attacks their gastrointestinal system, and it really attacks it. We're talking about shedding the lining of the intestines. So they become sort of an open septic vat in their intestinal tract for all the bacteria that are in their digestive system. It's very serious, has a pretty high mortality when puppies get it. They can survive it. It just takes significant critical care, mostly hydration and supportive care, because it is a virus. There's no treatment for the viral component of this other than letting it kind of do its damage and then provide supportive care to the puppy. The key is getting these dogs early. Vomiting is sort of the critical clinical sign. We're going to see puppies get diarrhea frequently. It's very common. They're getting introduced to new foods. They're trying to eat everything possible in the house. owners who are test driving new treats, we're going to see diarrheas. Dogs with that feel good and have an appetite and have diarrhea probably don't have parvovirus. These guys are usually getting pretty depressed pretty quickly.
So they're basically just sort of, instead of romping about like you'd expect from a puppy, they're a little bit more subdued?
Subdued to flat out, yes. Wow. And then get there pretty quickly. So the vomiting is really the critical sign on any puppy. If you have a puppy that vomits for any reason once, instantly start really closely monitoring that dog. If they vomit, they're vomiting more than once, if they start vomiting more frequently, that's a pretty good indication to get to veterinarian ASAP, even if the animal's feeling okay. And we see some breed susceptibilities. All young dogs can get parvovirus, but it does seem like some breeds, like Rottweilers, maybe Dobermans, Pit Bulls.
Why are they more susceptible?
Not sure if there's a genetic component to that. Pit Bulls and Rotties are dogs that are often bred in less than ideal conditions, and I think maybe there's a exposure because their care might be less in some cases, or they are genetically susceptible, but they're kind of trying to get parvovirus. So we're always super, super cautious with those breeds in particular, like getting their vaccines on board quickly and really paying attention to them if they have gastrointestinal upset. Now, adult dogs who aren't vaccinated can get parvovirus. They just don't generally get as sick. You don't usually have the mortality issues. You can still get a dog with GI signs. If a dog does get parvovirus and survives it, they're done. They'll never get parvovirus.
So they're immune.
Again, immune for life. And honestly, it's possible that most dogs, by the time they get through their puppy vaccines, those vaccines are multi-component, and there's a couple things in those vaccines that dogs do need re-exposure to. Parvo's not one of them. Once these animals get their puppy shots, maybe one adult or two adult vaccines, they're probably good. They're probably protected from parvo for the rest of their life, but they can carry it. So they can have parvovirus, they can be exposed to it, and then go play with a puppy. The adult dog's fine, no clinical signs, no hint at all that they might have exposed themselves to parvo, but that puppy then will get it, and the puppy could be wide open for illness.
Well, let's talk about transmission. How does that happen?
It's usually oral fecal component the problem with parvovirus is it's tough in the environment, very tough. That stuff can hang out for a while. But that's part of the reason why when people get new puppies, the reason we're pretty cautious about them romping around and getting out with other dogs until they've had a couple vaccines is because of exposures like this, because of the potential for exposure like this. On the one hand, it's important to get puppies socialized with other animals, very important to get them out and about with dogs. But there's a little bit of caution until they get through 6 week, 8 week, maybe 10 or 12 week vaccines before you start having them do that because of risk factors of exposure.
If your dog didn't get a vaccine and your dog is exposed and is ill, as you said, there's a high mortality rate, but is there any sort of treatment?
Yeah. So what happens on these animals, it's critical to get treatment going rapidly, but generally it's IV fluid therapy because their hydration levels are horrible. In isolation, one, to keep them obviously from being a risk to other animals, a health threat to other animals, but also because their immune systems are failing horribly during a parvovirus outbreak. Their white blood cells tend to drop. And so it opens them up to other infections and other threats, which is a problem because, again, the parvovirus, because it's stripping the small intestinal lining, these animals also need antibiotic protection because they're getting subjected to a pretty significant septic threat from their bowels. And pain management, because these animals are extremely uncomfortable, and also trying to manage the vomiting, which is both comfort and medical. But we have puppies definitely survive. They can survive it. If they don't get treatment, then they're probably not going to live through this. And that's what we see. We see a lot of, I'm going to put this term in quotes, but backyard breeding type stuff where people aren't really doing everything they can to protect these puppy litters. Those are often the sources for some of these outbreaks. But in terms of having a catastrophe, like a community catastrophe of parvovirus blowing through a community, it certainly rears its head every once in a while, but it tends to pocket, and it doesn't tend to spread like a wildfire, like when we have the new canine flus blow into town, or if our older canine flus change or mutate.
Or kennel cough.
Kennel cough, and any of those complexes, when those come into a community, they can really blow through like a fire. But it's parvovirus will rear its head. You'll have pockets, but it generally isn't something where you need to go into mass hysteria lockdown when you hear there's been a parvo case in the community, especially if your animal's 4 months or older. Those animals are generally just going to be fine if they run into this disease.
So are you seeing a lot of parvovirus right now?
We don't see it firsthand as much, at least at our clinic we don't, but what we see are animals that came out of situations where a whole litter was wiped out except this dog that was just adopted, and we have seen some of those recently. And again, most of these animals are coming out of rescue situations or not official breeder kennel type situations, people who have litters in their backyard sort of and may or may not do the appropriate puppy care that they should, and then the parvo comes in, and the stuff, the disease will wipe out an entire litter pretty easily without vaccination, without care. So we've seen some of those recently. We've seen some puppies that were adopted out, and they were survivors of parvovirus. In fact, we just had a little blue heeler puppy come in that was a parvo survivor. I don't know if we should give them a little ribbon or something like that for doing that. But and I had one. We lost him last summer. He's about 12 years old, but he was a little Roddy cross that the owners were financially unable to treat him, and they're going to take him home and let him die. So we asked them to give him to us, and then ended up getting him through it. And he was probably one of the least intelligent dogs that I've had, but I blame the parvo possibly, but we loved him to death, old Willis. He was good for a long time. And then there's a feline version of parvovirus that we've, for some reason, confusingly called feline distemper. So when you hear about feline distemper, you're really, what that is feline panleukopenia, and that's the feline version of canine parvovirus. Very similar, very parallel disease courses. And the difference being cats tend to vomit less with panleuke. They will die. I mean, if you see a kitten that 24 hours later has passed away, very often that's going to be a very acute, wicked attack of panleukopenia. The cats that don't die right away generally also are having GI diseases. This disease definitely attacks the bone marrow and wipes out their immunity entirely. And mortality with this disease is probably higher, especially in untreated cats, even some cats that are treated. Kittens we see with this disease that are like 8 or 9 weeks or younger are just really don't don't often survive this disease. Same thing, it's vaccinated for, just like canine parvoviruses. The exposure issues are the same.
The bottom line here is, get your animal vaccinated.
This is absolutely the reason why you don't mess around with puppy and kitten vaccinations. The two number one reasons for each species that you don't want to mess around with kitten vaccines or puppy vaccines, canine parvovirus and feline panleukopenia, absolutely.
That's Dr. Matt Fraker from the Prairie Oak Veterinary Center in Normal. I'm Laura Kennedy.
If your pet becomes infected, you'll need to clean up the areas in which the animal has been sick in order to kill canine parvovirus on hard, non-porous surfaces. Prepare a disinfecting solution of 3/4 cup bleach and 1 gallon of water. Pre-wash the areas and then mop or wipe the disinfecting solution. Let it stand for 10 minutes, then rinse thoroughly and air dry. You're listening to Sound Ideas on GLT.